This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your comfort level in this offense right now?
Yeah, I think we're building. I think I felt good, you know, kind of reciting the plays and getting out of the huddle and getting in and out of checks, you know, out there during the game. So it felt good to get that in the game's rep, and I think it'll, you know, continue to get better between you know, me and coach. And I think, you know, the more we do and the more we're kind of seeing the same things and, you know, stuff we can revert back to in a game setting will always kind of help us going forward. And I think those guys, you know, that were catching the football and blocking up front, I thought they play their butts off, and I think they deserve a lot of credit, and I gotta do my part.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Drake May discussing his comfort level going into year two and week two with Josh McDaniels calling the plays, coach, as he refers to him. I will get to your phone calls coming up, 617-779-7937. I was reading Twitch chat in the break. Just a lot of people sharing their recollections of where they were.
Yeah.
On 9/11, which is just interesting to read. We're reading along with that. This text as well. I'm curious if this is true, but somebody texted Greg on AAF. It was Tool Schism playing, and they cut in the second plane hit. So
that's an interesting trivia question.
I wonder if Greg remembers that.
Yeah.
And so continue to share that. Text line, Twitch, we're reading along here today on Jones and Keefe. But it is a Thursday at high noon, which means it's time to go on the clock. This week, we're going to tell you what the Patriots need to do to get their first win of the year in 60 seconds each. How do they do it against Miami? You want first up?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right, let's put them on the clock, Nick.
All right, here you go. They're going to have to run the ball. I know that sounds boring, but they need to run the ball. They didn't run it effectively in the first half, then they went away from it in the second half. Their running back, the Cerberus backfield, which many are calling, needs to have a big game. I would up the snaps for Travion Henderson as well as the touches. I also want to see more Steph Diggs on the field. Didn't play enough snaps for me. Was pretty effective when he was out there. Let Drake May run a little bit. Daniel Jones had two rushing touchdowns for the Colts against the Dolphins last week. Let Drake May run 7-8 times in this game. Defensively, they need to turn over Tua. Tua has owned the Patriots in his time, 7-0 against the Pats, but he had three turnovers last week against Indy. Threw two picks, also had a fumble. His coach is calling him out. The Dolphins are already giving up on their coach. You got to take advantage of their mistakes, which there will be a lot of. And then you got to bottle up Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Waddle's already banged up. Tyreek Hill's dealing with stuff off the field, as it always is, but you can't let him beat you for the 80-yard touchdown, because that's probably how they're going to score.
There you go. That is how the Patriots get their first win in just 60 seconds, according to Rich Keefe. By the way, if you want to go on the clock yourselves,
please do.
It's been a while since I've reminded people of that.
Yeah, people can do it 30 seconds.
Yeah, you don't get 60.
Go crazy.
No.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
No, we have the stamina to go 60 seconds, Keefe. You guys get 30 seconds on the clock.
Some days
out there
are better than others.
But if you want to tell us how the Patriots will get their first win, 617-779-7937. We have more thoughts on Drake May coming up. I'll tell you right now, there's going to be some overlap, but I'll go on the clock here right now, Nick. what the Patriots need to do to get their first win in just 60 seconds. Mike Vrabel can't get outcoached again. He got outcoached by Pete Carroll last week. Team was flat. They were sloppy. Too many penalties. No adjustments in the second half. It needs to end there. Drake May also can't get too amped up. He's amped up early in these games. High throws. He's inaccurate. He turned it over last week. That can't happen. An interception. He's lucky he didn't lose a fumble. Will Campbell fell on top of it. And he needs to start piling up W's. You need belief in that locker room. And you're on the hot seat as the franchise quarterback if you can't start doing that soon. So he needs to do that. I want to see more out of Steph Diggs. He was limited in his return. I like what I saw. So put more on his plate. Travion Henderson needs to at least be a 50-50 split with Ramondre Stevenson. He's the more explosive player. Get him on the field. No Christian Gonzalez, so you got to limit big plays against the Dolphins. They gave up 9 last week against Geno. That's too many. Get 2 off his first read. He's going to panic if you do. And let the Dolphins do the rest. They want to implode. Let them implode and fire Mike McDaniel. That's what they want to do, so let them do it.
Yeah, Vrabel was big early on with a lot of his talking points about, you know, there's like the good, the bad stuff that gets you beat or take advantage of other teams' mistakes, like all that kind of rhetoric. But it's true. Like, the Dolphins are a team that are basically, like, begging you to win the game. Like, the nobody likes the Colts. Nobody thought the Colts were any great shakes.
Nope.
And they dominated the Dolphins. So this will be interesting. Like, usually teams aren't, like, backed into a corner in week 2. Like, I feel like it's pretty rare to be, like, this early in the season be like, oh, they have to win or they're either going to fire their coach or there's going to be sweeping changes. Like, if they keep the coach in there for some reason, you got to do drastic changes because you can't start the year the way that you started if you're the Dolphins.
So it's an interesting point. I'm just looking at some of the other 0-1 matchups out there this
week.
Okay, is Daboll in that spot yet? Daboll against Dallas?
So Daboll is in a different spot than McDaniel because their first-round pick quarterback hasn't played yet, and more of the scuttlebutt would be, does Daboll get Jackson Dart in over Russell Wilson? And then that sort of extends his time. Like, with McDaniel, this is his guy. He's Tua. He's had success with Tua. He's also had some bad, you know, years with Tua. He kind of called him out a little bit this week. So he, I would say, is nearing, like, the hot seat overall. But there's that weird kind of, I don't know, there's, like, the upside of Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart's on the horizon. Now, we thought that was going to work out in Mayo's favor. I guess he survived the year technically last year.
Right. So maybe, you know, Mike McDaniel, even though I picked Daboll as the first coach fired, the way things are trending,
McDaniel's,
the Dart thing might buy him some more time. McDaniel doesn't really have that.
Good point. Tagovailoa.
Thank you. Is Stefanski in that spot yet? They're on the road against the Ravens this week. They are 11.5-point dogs, by the way.
So another guy similar to Daboll, actually.
You could go to Shadur.
Go to Shadur or Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, maybe.
Who they drafted over Shadur?
Wasn't Shadur the emergency quarterback last week?
Was he? I actually don't know.
I think he was.
I think Dylan Gabriel was the backup.
Oh, okay.
How about that? The only other 0-1 versus 0-1 outside of Pats Dolphins is Bears and Lions. I don't think anybody's on the hot seat there. Ben Johnson just got there.
No.
Ben Johnson's ready for some Bears fans to turn on him, though, if he can't figure out how to challenge calls and kick out of bounds.
No, Johnson and Vrabel are probably two of the safest coaches, even though they both started 0-1.
No. So I think, look, you... The Dolphins, and maybe they respond, maybe they stick up for their guy or you know, they're backed into a corner and they answer, they respond at home.
Yeah.
That'd be a real bad story for Vrabel and the Pats. How do they get their first win? You can discuss at 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, you have Drake May. He was asked, and he's been asked, here on WEEI. Vrabel started the ball rolling on this early in the week where there might be too much on Drake May's plate. Here's what May had to say about that yesterday.
Is anything too much on your plate?
No, I mean, I think, like I said, previously, anytime you're playing quarterback in the NFL, it's a lot on your plate. You know, you're playing quarterback for, you know, one of 32 teams. You know, it's a lot, and you know, something I don't take for granted. You know, what a special position it is in this league, and there's a lot of good that comes with it. And there's a lot of stuff that's on your plate, and that's just part of it. So trying to do whatever I can to, you know, study as much as I can and, you know, hear the play calls and study the formations before he calls them. And, like I said, there's a lot of things that go into it, being accurate and play calling and getting in and out of plays. So just trying to, like I said, get a good grip on it. I think the more we do that, you know, kind of throughout the weeks and as the season goes on, the better I'll feel for in this offense.
So two questions. Number one, can May handle all of this? I don't think we know the answer to that yet. So we can continue to get our answers as the weeks go along. I'm a little shaken after week 1, but I can get back on board if he's better this week. So can he handle being a starting quarterback? Can he handle being a starting quarterback in New England for Vrabel, for McDaniels, all of it? We're going to find out. How do they help him? And I think some of this overlaps with our 60-second plans, but how do they help him get back on track this week?
Well, I think the easiest way to help him would be if the offensive line and the running backs are good, and if they have a good game. Looking at it last week, the Dolphins, now it was kind of tilted because the Colts ended up running it 40 times because they were up big in the second half.
Yeah, a lot of that was right. They were stomping them and they just ran the game.
But they did run for about 4 yards a carry, and you just figure if Stevenson and Henderson have a pretty good game, and it's constantly second and short, third and short for Drake May, that opens up the playbook a little bit more, makes it a lot easier for him. And if you don't have that and you're behind, like with any quarterback, right? Like if they're constantly in those positions, then you're either, you know, more likely to turn it over. Maybe you're trying to make like a hero type play, or you just end up punting a lot and it's just really, really frustrating. So I think if those guys are good, but I also think he does seem to have a decent rapport with both Kayshon Booty and Steph Diggs. Like he threw to Steph Diggs a lot for the percentage of times that he was out there. And so I would do more of that. And also just thinking about all this talk about, you know, if he's got too much on his plate or whatever, there's also sort of a side conversation to like having too much on the plate makes it sound like he doesn't know the playbook. Right. Or almost like that's or there's too much there. There's too many nuances there that he can't comprehend.
I mean, yeah. Or he's just, he's not playing, he's thinking, like is kind of how I'd interpret it. Yeah.
But also, so then you're saying, all right, is he somebody that, like, is Josh McDaniels going to be able to just utilize his best skills and like what he does best?
Right.
Or is he just constantly be like, no, this worked for me in the past with the greatest quarterback of all time. I want you to do this. Or it's even worked for me to a lesser degree with quarterbacks that had this type of skill set. When is he going to adapt, right? So I think maybe to also answer your question is like, how willing is Josh McDaniels to sort of bend a little bit?
Yeah, by taking something off his plate. That would be, Curran talked about this with us earlier in the week. Like, you don't need to audible out of a million different plays. You don't need to give him options walking up to the line. Like, you can simplify it, streamline it. And we got a text about this early in the show. You can also just let him let it rip. Mm. Meaning, all right, we're not going to dink and dunk. We're going to throw down the field. His arm is an asset. His legs are an asset. Let him run. Let him air it out. He's making mistakes anyway when you have him dink and dunk and he seems overwhelmed like last week. So at least the trade-off, if he's going to make mistakes, should be big plays. Last week, to me, was the worst combination of all of it. I used to say this routinely about Mac. I'm like, Mac Jones, who is going to start this weekend, it sounds like, for the 49ers in New Orleans against the Saints, Mac used to make constant mistakes, and he gave you no big plays. It was like the worst combination where there was no upside all the mistakes.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like that watching Drake last week. They weren't pushing the ball downfield. He wasn't getting out and utilizing his legs. There were no design runs or hardly any design runs. So to me, that's just the worst combination. If he's going to make mistakes anyway, I at least want the trade-off of some big plays.
Well, this is why I also go back to, like, with Drake May specifically and as the season goes on and, like, what you're looking for, there is kind of two different things. Obviously, wins are the most important. And you see it right now with a guy like Bo Nix. Like, he's not exactly lighting it up, but he's not losing games for his team, and he's getting wins, so that's going to sort of buy you some more time. Then there's a guy like, you know, Justin Herbert from a few years ago, where early on, even when he had bad coaches, and even though the team would lose stupid games and they'd go for it on every fourth down, the guy's throwing for like 30 something touchdowns. He's slinging the ball for like 4,000 yards. You're like, all right, I see something there. So like in either one of those, you could see something. But if it's another loss, which has been pretty much a constant for Drake May's career, and then it's also another one of these like one touchdown, one pick, one fumble, 220-yard games. You're like, anybody can do that.
Seriously.
Any quarterback that's in the NFL can do that.
Text line, letting him let it rip also means you're not developing him. I have big questions if they developed him at all this offseason, watching him in week one.
Yeah, right.
You know, so right. Like they may not have developed him. And so now you got to go out there and win some games. And I'm not telling you we know the answer. Text line has also taken me to task. They're like, how can you say a team is ready to implode in week two? That's not the Patriots we're talking about. We're talking about Miami. I don't know. I look at all the stuff going on with the Dolphins. They are ripe for the taking. Tua's getting called out by former teammates.
Yeah.
Him and Tyreek have had weird comments.
McDaniel was like, yeah, he wasn't up to snuff.
McDaniel was another one. Yeah, what did he see? He was like, it's unsatisfactory.
Closer to death.
No, well, he said something like that. But he's like,
he talks oddly. But
yeah. He's a nerd boy, according to Rex Ryan. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just,
I'd say the good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse.
No, that's fair. That is fair. He's right about that. So Tyreek,
less than to be desired.
There it is.
Was what he said.
There it is.
Performance.
That's how humans talk. So, you know, like Tua and Tyreek have had a weird thing all offseason. Tyreek is being investigated now by the league for 8 more counts of domestic violence he's been accused of by his estranged wife. So you have that going on. You have a coach that came into the year on the hot seat and then laid an egg in week 1 against the Colts, whose coach was also on the hot seat going into the year,
yeah,
and you
nice
got stopped
up.
By them.
Yeah, you get smoked.
So it's a team that's ready to implode. You can't lose to this team. You really, really can't. And I would go back to, we've done a lot of comparing Drake May to J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy already has a win.
Yeah.
He already has a come-from-behind win. We all watched it on national TV. He beat Caleb Williams, who was very unimpressive. But in that game, one underrated thing about Kevin O'Connell, it has a great scheme. We're both fans of him, Keith. We got a lot of flack when we had him as a top-tier head coach in the league. I think on Monday you saw some of why mm-hmm. we feel that way. Mm-hmm. I think he called for 23 dropbacks, if I have the math right. 20 pass attempts and 3 sacks. They ran it 26 times in that game. And they were down. They were down the whole time. Chicago scored on their opening drive. They were down 17-6 at one point in time. He didn't abandon the run. He didn't get away from it. And you don't need to run to win, but it needs to be a part of your play calling. And I think if Josh McDaniels and Vrabel were going to take anything back from their game last week, they got away from that way too quick. It was a close game. You were winning in the second half. You were only down a score for most of the second half, and they completely and totally got away from it. I'd imagine they want that one back, and I would firmly expect that to be fixed this week, or at least if they haven't fixed the run game, they're going to lean into it much more.
Yeah, because I don't think you're really in a position where you're going to win a lot of games just based off your pass game right now, and that's everybody. That's Drake May included. Yeah, he's airmailing throws. But your receivers, I think, have at least elevated from a year ago up to, like, average. Like Booty, Diggs, Douglas. Like, okay, like you'll take that compared to what it was last year. I know it's only one player different, but the other two guys I think are better. Booty's better, right? Like, I think those guys
I'm
are
not
more
sure Pop is, but
maybe
but
not.
Booty
maybe
is,
not.
Yeah, yeah.
But those two guys are a little bit better. And then the pass blocking is still a little bit up in the air, right? So like all of that, you're not saying, all right, we're going to go out there and we're just going to chuck it around nonstop. But I do think Drake May having a little bit more freedom or not being terrified to let him run, like that needs to be included more in the offense.
Let's see. This is a comment from the Twitch chat. M. Collier in the Twitch chat. I'm just wondering when the larger Boston sports media finally starts to turn the page on May. Is it October? Is it November? Is it December? He says the water is heating up and the boiling point is coming soon.
Well, he's going to get the full season. He's going to get easily the full season, if not more.
It's not. I don't think it's going to be October. I mean, we're questioning him after one bad start against the Raiders, so we're questioning it, but I still believe in him. I don't know when I would bail, but if they don't win enough games this year.
Oh, if they're like 1-8 or something insane, then like.
But like, let's say they're 6-11 at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, the questions about is Drake May the guy, they're going to be
fair.
They're going to be fair, and it's going to be pretty loud.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine he gets a third season, almost no matter what he does. Matt got a third season, for God's sake.
Well, he still technically hasn't played a full season yet.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll get year 3 for sure.
But he should get year 3. But the questions going into year 3 will be pretty loud if they don't win enough games this year, independent of his statistics and how he looks. If they're not winning games, which some of these other quarterbacks in the 2024 class are already doing, if they're not winning games, there's going to be questions about him, and they're going to be more than fair.
Oh.
There's already questions about him.
100%. Yeah, no, I think it's a massive year for him. I said yesterday it's like the most important thing for the whole year is what Drake May looks like at the end of it. We said the same thing about Mac Jones 3 years ago, and, you know, it was a bad answer, but we got an answer.
Like,
right? Like that, but that was paramount to that season. It was like, what is your first-round pick quarterback? And you're like, oh, he's not the answer. And then you moved on. But there were a lot of signs. But I know there's plenty of people in the anti-Drake May camp that – just would like to see more improvements quicker than what we've seen, which I understand. But you also have to realize this was his 12th start,
right?
Or whatever.
I don't think he played well against the Raiders. Maybe we've overstated how bad it is, but I don't think he played well against the Raiders. That doesn't mean he's doomed, but I think we could all agree that we expected more week 1. I think that's fair to say. Doesn't mean he's going to suck. Doesn't mean he can't be a franchise quarterback. Doesn't mean he isn't the guy. But week 1, he wasn't. And week 1, I think we all expected more. And that's him individually. Mm-hmm. That's as a team out of the Patriots. That's how we feel going into a big game this weekend against the Miami Dolphins. How do they win it? You can discuss 617-779-7937. And what can they do to help Drake May in week two here with Josh McDaniels and that offense? We'll get to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I felt good. I actually missed the contact portion of it as far as like getting hit a little bit. So I look forward to getting back out there. You know, I'm more thankful than anything. I hate losing. You know, obviously, I wasn't too happy about that. But at the same time, I took a lot from it as far as like me getting back out there, and, you know, getting acclimated again and getting some contact and, you know, catching the ball again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Stephon Diggs. Keefe, you earlier called the Patriots wide receivers average?
Yeah.
I think that was fair.
Thank you.
Not everyone agrees.
What?
Our pal Ray in Cumberland.
Come on, Ray.
Keith, that is the dumbest statement I've heard all week.
It's Thursday. We've had a ton of horrible, dumb stuff.
It's not even the dumbest thing anyone said on this show.
Right.
Today.
Today
in
is what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant.
That's bizarre. Okay.
I think they are average.
Wide receivers are average! ! He says, not even close! !
Well, that really drives the point home. But Kayshon Booty's sneaky decent.
Sneaky decent.
Yeah.
That's an important word. That word's doing a lot.
Maybe I just like Steph Diggs.
Sneaky, sir.
More than Ray does. I do think that there were not a lot of positives to take away from week one. However, Steph Diggs is one of them, and you hear him talking about it there. This is a guy who's in his 30s, blew out his ACL last Halloween. We didn't even know if he was going to play week one.
I didn't think he was going to play, no matter where he signed. This is even before he signed. Right. I didn't think he was going to play week one.
We thought he might start the year on the pup list.
I didn't think he'd play the first month.
Right.
Correct.
So the fact that he even played is a win, let alone had six catches in the game. I'm like, I'll take that. I mean,
I think it was seven. We said this earlier. I think it was seven targets on 29 snaps off the top of my head. So yeah. When he was out there, he was hyper-targeted, which I really didn't think was going to be the case. And I read you these numbers the other day just to make you feel better. And it doesn't mean he's going to outproduce all these guys.
Yeah.
But in week one, his first game in a new offense with a new quarterback off a torn ACL, he outproduced in yards Drake London, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Travis Hunter, T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, Calvin Ridley, and Jamar Chase. So, I don't know, the further we get away from Sunday, I honestly do feel better and better about Diggs' first game. He had the fourth most snaps among wide receivers. When he was out there, he was targeted a lot. I'd expect more than 57 yards. I would hope for more anyway than 57 yards on a lot of these weeks, but it's not as bad of a start as it felt in real time. I think I was more hung up on the loss and how bad May looked and probably lashing out at Diggs in the performance more than anything, because you take a look back, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I just think that was a positive sign for him just to get out there. He talked about, you know, getting hit, catching some passes, playing in an NFL game, because he probably had some doubts when it happened. And so, all right, now you get out there. And it's tricky because it's hard to not grade things on a scale of, like, how close are they to a Super Bowl? Because for so long, that's, like, all we were focused on.
Yep.
And it was like, all right, this team is a Super Bowl team, and if they're not, what happened? Well, this team, the last 2 years, won a total of 8 games. The last 2 years probably had the worst wide receiver group in the NFL. This year, they spend money on Steph Diggs. He's not the old Steph Diggs. He's not super explosive, but he still could be their best or second best receiver on the team. And 6 catches for just under 60 yards is kind of like a 1,000-yard pace. Now, I mean, you're going to want some touchdowns, and you're going to, you know, obviously you want to score more points and win games and all that stuff, but I'll take the lone individual performance from Steph Diggs as a win. Now, that can't be the highlight of the season. No. You can't be like, remember the game he had 6 catches? But for week 1, I'll happily take it.
We talked about this before, but 1,000 yards doesn't sound that great. And game by game, it's really not crazy production. The last time they had a 1,000-yard receiver was Edelman in like 2019 or something like that. Like, well, I forgot off the top of my head when it was.
They have not had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2019.
So 57 yards a game gets you to almost 1,000, yeah. 969.
Yep.
Nice.
Very nice. So he's got to up the production just a little bit. But that in a 17-game season, that gets you to 1,000 yards. Meanwhile, we've also been discussing whether or not Drake May is the guy. Text line feels very strongly about that. Guys, he won't get year 3, which I find shocking. Also, this text, Mac Jones won 10 games one season. May has 1 win in 20 games. We're exaggerating
a bit. That's a little much.
So that's to say, when I said earlier, well, Mac got a 3rd year. Of course, Drake's going to get a 3rd year. I think that's trying to run counter to that, basically that Mac proved more early. We were doing an exercise in the last break because I'm like, how many first-round quarterbacks?
Well, Mac did get a 3rd year, though.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The
text line is saying he got a 3rd year because he proved more year 1, rather, than Drake has proven to this point.
Okay.
So didn't he get to the point where Bill wasn't talking to him?
More of a Bill thing.
I was very strongly against Mac getting that 3rd year, but he got it.
Yeah.
Most first-round picks get a 3rd year, but not all of them. You came up with a bunch in the break, Keith, that did not get year 3.
We were firing off a whole bunch. I mean, the Browns went through such a run where they were just getting guys like late 20s in the first round and then trying them out, not working. The late Dwayne Haskins didn't get a lot of run. EJ Manuel with the Bills didn't get a long run. Jamarcus Russell, because he didn't start, he only played 1 game, we were looking this up, in his rookie year. Yeah, played year 2, so he got year 3, and that was it.
He's a real fly in the ointment for the redshirt people.
It did not work for him.
He got a full redshirt. He started 1 game as a rookie.
He got to watch the game, experience the NFL.
He apparently learned nothing.
Yeah.
So he got a 3rd year, but
Josh Rosen was 1 and done.
Rosen is a great one. Did you say Johnny Football?
Yeah, Manziel was another one. Yeah, I think all those Browns guys.
Rosen didn't stand a chance.
Rosen? No, they had a new coach.
They hired Cliff Kingsbury and then immediately drafted Kyler.
Yeah, but they were right.
Oh, no, they were right.
They were right, but that's also...
Were they right? Was Kyler really good?
I mean, he's definitely better than Josh Rosen.
Yeah, but he might have gotten a 2nd year if they didn't have the number 1 overall pick, right? Maybe. It's also like how the draft shakes out and like who happens to be available in said draft. But
the point, so there are more examples than I thought, but most of those quarterbacks get a 3rd year. And Drake's going to get a 3rd year, but he could go into the 3rd year on a real hot seat, depending on how this year shakes out, and it's off to a bad start. 617-779-7937. Here's proof that it's off to a bad start, Keith. Matt's in Brighton. Go ahead, Matt.
Why, good afternoon, gentlemen. You haven't heard it all until you hear my phone call here.
I'm waiting for
you. So let me ask you a simple question. So what is the leash for this kid when he absolutely, like, if he's going to really stink it up, like, is Rabel going to pull him and put in DeVito? Because DeVito can play. He needs the opportunity.
Okay. DeVito just needs an opportunity. One take.
That's everybody,
let's stick with the first question. What's the leash with Drake Bay? I think it's the whole year.
Oh, there isn't
Please
a leash.
Please use your time as efficiently as we can.
Well, there's
he's
a leash.
He's off leash. No, Jones. He's off leash.
In 2025, there's no leash.
Right.
You go
to a dog park, he's off leash. He might not even have a collar on. He can just do whatever he wants.
We bring Charles off leash to the dog park sometimes. He just sits on the side.
You're like, bud, get in there.
Yeah, he's not in danger of biting anybody.
No, I think that's why he sits on the side. He's like, I can't protect myself.
Did I ever tell you the story when Harrow just like de-cleated like a 3-year-old kid? Oh my God, we were at this huge, like, it wasn't even the dog park as much as like this just giant area, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was the Fellsway. You ever been to the Fellsway?
Yes,
like,
yeah,
down there.
Sure.
So we're down there, and it's just mayhem. There's like 100 dogs running around. So, like, I'm not going to parent shame, but some parent had their kids just like out and about with like Newfoundlands, Golden Retrievers, Labs, whatever Harrow is, like all these dogs running around.
Truck stick.
So there's a million dogs. You're like, hey, go play with the dogs. So we pop them off the leash. Full sprint, like this guy owed him money. Full sprint at this kid, jumps up 2 hands, knocks the kid to the ground. The kid goes rolling. Harold's not that big, but he's fast. Yeah. So at 40 pounds, he's like a bullet. And then he just like.
No, he's speed to power. He's a speed to power ratio is what it is.
And yeah, this kid just got smoked. He would have been on the old ESPN jacked up. And I come running over. I'm like, oh, my God. And like part of me was like, I'm sorry. But part of me was like, hey, maybe have your make sure your kid has his head on a swivel. Mm. And the lady actually, thankfully, was not that upset.
Well,
meanwhile,
good.
Another runner got mad because Harrah chased after a runner. And then me and him got into a verbal spat.
Now, you had less patience.
We've
for that
stopped
individual.
Going to the Fells, man. Yeah. It's a nice area.
Good question by the text line at 617-779-7937. Was that DeVito's agent calling? Could have been Sean Stellato.
Could have
been.
He could have just called in on
he
his own.
He said it was Matt Brighton, but it could have been.
It's true.
Sean Stellato.
Maybe we'll see him. Now, he was available. The Patriots claimed him, so I shouldn't say he was available. They claimed him off waivers.
Yeah, they made sure they were the only team. Earmuffs out there, Sean, but they were the only team to claim it.
Well, that's because last year in 3 games and 2 starts, he had 257 passing yards.
All right. Well, look, the Giants prefer Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson.
Look, I want to segue this in properly. It's another reason to keep Joe Milton around, Patriots.
Yeah.
Speaking of Joe Milton, one of his bigger fans is on the line. Ray is in Cumberland. Hello, Ray.
Say his name, he shall appear.
Yes.
Joe Milton still stinks. Rich Keefe, I got a question for you today, my friend. You guys have been doing great all week. But
thank you.
You got the Patriots rated as an average receiving core. I have to ask you about this. Pro Fantasy Football has them ranked 31st, and then Hall of Fame Ty Law was on Greg Hill this week saying that there's no speed on the Patriots offense. There's no one to worry about, and I think the receivers are well under average.
You say Pro Fantasy Focus had them ranked low?
Pro Football Focus, or is Pro Fantasy
Pro
Focus?
Pro Football.
I didn't know Pro Fantasy Focus is a new website.
Yeah, well, we just tiered the receivers in the AFC. I think Kayshon Booty is a real NFL wide receiver. I think Steph Diggs is a real NFL wide receiver, and I think Pop Douglas is okay.
And after that,
I think that's a. Well, you don't need 10 guys. They have a better receiving core than the Buffalo Bills.
He's borderline average. He couldn't even get off the ball
last week.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm a little more out. I'm with you, Ray, on Pop Douglas. Yeah. But Booty's, I believe, I got to fact check this. I think his last 4 starts, he's 5th in the league in receiving yards. 4 starts, a small sample size.
But what I noticed, too, and the reason why I said average and I stand by average is they're better than a couple of teams, right? But then also... A lot of teams have one guy and then it falls off a cliff. So like the Jets have Wilson and nobody else. The Browns have Judy and nobody else. And so you're like, yeah, I would love that top end player.
I saw Nick. That's some Cedric Tillman slander back there.
It is.
Nick
it
didn't
is.
Appreciate
no, Billy
that.
No, Billy and I were talking about something different.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
So Cedric Tillman, good player.
But that's why it's average. So you might prefer the higher ceiling guy. And I get it. I want the stud guy too.
They don't have an alpha. They don't have a stud.
No.
But I think their receiver, I think to call it average is fine.
But the last couple of years, you look up there and you're like, is that Tyquan Thornton and Jalen Polk and Jalen Reagor and KJ Osborne? That's trash. Like, I don't look at it now and say it's trash.
Right.
So you got to at least step over that.
Yeah, maybe our tolerance for what an actual average receiver, now we appreciate
it's trash.
Yeah, depending
on
what's
so beaten down that a guy has 100 yards, we're like, he's good.
Yeah, it could be that. It definitely could be that, yeah.
Rashee Rice is out for a while. It's probably better than the Chiefs, probably better than the Bills, because those two teams are like, we have great quarterbacks, so we're just going to let them do it.
Yeah, they have Juju and Hollywood Brown, the Chiefs right now.
Please, I'd rather have these guys. We had Juju here. He's horrible.
I would rather have these guys.
Hollywood was averaging like 1.3 yards a catch last week until he had that one long one at the end.
He blows. Even the Broncos, it's Sutton. I like Sutton, and then it falls off. Like, if you're taking, like, the top two guys or even top three, you don't need to go much deeper than that. You don't need to be like, oh, put your 5. Like, you don't even see the 4th and 5th guy. So, I don't know. I stand by average.
Okay. Ray did say it's been a good show this week. That's nice. That was nice.
Thanks, Ray. He does not say that on Twitter.
No,
he's constantly telling us how bad the show is.
He's a man who's very easily fired up on Twitter. But I feel like that was a healthy exchange of ideas we just had, Keith.
That was great.
Yeah, I think so.
That was great.
617-779-7937. We can circle back to more Red Sox thoughts coming up. Same with the Patriots as well. Who's calling plays for the defense this weekend? We can get into that. But on the way next, it's Thursday, 12:45, which means it's time for the madness, Kiefer Madness.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness!
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
The 44-year-old sits on the hood or not showing the most graphic part of the video, including when she appeared to defecate on the car.
She came to this Mexican restaurant for a margarita, and instead she left with a side of snake.
Yep, those are four horses inside the Baker Walmart.
Built this giant statue of a human rear end, which he would later load onto his truck and drive down the interstate while headed to court hearings.
All right, time for the madness here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. We got a double feature for you here today, Jones.
Nice.
Yeah, a double creature feature.
Even better.
It's been mostly animal stories, I feel like. And guy in the crawl space.
A human being in the crawl space, right. And the foot guy.
That's technically a creature feature.
It was a creature feature.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
That is true.
Well said.
Somewhat local. Let's go to Connecticut. We'll stay in New England for this story.
East Hartford police want anyone with information about who may have painted squirrel to call them right away. Take a look at this.
Squirrel?
Squirrels. Yeah, it's a little choppy on the thing.
If I didn't know it was a creature feature, I would have thought she said something very different.
Who may have painted squirrel?
Squirrels?
Yeah.
Squirrels? Are you asking us or are you telling us?
I heard
the news.
Oh, it doesn't matter what I heard.
Squirrels.
Yeah.
What'd you hear?
I heard scrotum in there is what I heard. But that's not what she's painting? Okay, yeah.
Different story. Yeah, I left that one aside.
If I didn't know it was an animal story, that's what I heard.
Yeah. Painting squirrels as this one.
To call them right away, take a look at this picture. You see the squirrel? It's blue.
I drew the duck blue because I've always wanted to see a blue duck.
That's quacktastic.
Okay.
There's winter. There's a chili squirrel. Maybe,
I don't think
perhaps.
They change colors. They're not like chameleons.
Oh, but if they get frozen enough.
Oh, you think a frozen squirrel.
Yeah, like a frozen block of squirrel.
This is a new story, Jones. This isn't from last winter.
Okay.
It was actually very nice yesterday. It's like 70 degrees.
But I don't know when the artist was rendering this from. Maybe it was an older photo of the squirrel. Yeah.
Picture. You see the squirrel? It's blue.
Sure is.
That was leading the news in Connecticut?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
The other, if we take a look here, appears to be red or pink.
Wow.
Okay.
So a blue one and a red or pink one.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So two different squirrels painted.
Okay.
They painted two separate squirrels. They let them go. They're just out and about.
It's a gender commentary I could feel coming up.
Maybe.
Okay.
Blue and a pink.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a gender reveal gone bad.
It's a squirrel gender reveal.
Like, I painted those squirrels. You didn't want to use them? I took 2 days off to wrangle these squirrels and paint them.
These are squirrel restrooms. It's a very controversial story is what this is.
You're going to do what?
Yeah, okay.
Both were spotted near Naubuck Avenue and High Street.
Why do they do this?
The very specific addresses in the news?
Live and local.
It's
there's something the
most
to be
important
said for. You really want to know exactly where stuff happens, but they are so specific in some of these news
guests. What county is this in?
Yeah.
And what are the crossroads? Otherwise, I wouldn't be paying attention for a squirrel.
I have to imagine that affects a very, very, very small portion of your audience, the exact location. But some people really want to know exactly where stuff happens.
This is because the news, they write it down to the second. And they're probably like, listen, there's a red and a blue squirrel on
they
the
can't,
loose.
They can't even get the color of the squirrel right.
Red or
But they have
pink.
The cross street down to like the centimeter.
So what do they say? Keep your eyes peeled?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Both were spotted near Naubuck Avenue and High Street in East Hartford. Investigators say they appear to be in good health, but their fur has been colored somewhere.
Their fur has been colored somewhere?
How would you know that a squirrel's in good health when you see it? The bushy tail?
Oh, I think they
probably judge
the
bushiness of
the
tail.
Yeah, they're not like frantic. They don't have like fur, like missing fur in places.
Oh, that's true.
I think
they're
like
splotchy fur. You want to have a full.
They're known for their
mane.
Tails.
Yeah.
Like a beautiful tail.
Okay, good.
You can tell, Jones. You can just kind of tell. They're good spirits.
Stupid question by me.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's
obvious. Good.
Appear to be in good health, but their fur has been colored somehow, and they'd like some information. Oh, poor things.
Who wants information? The squirrels or the town hall? What is she talking about?
I don't know.
I also love the idea of somebody that did this.
Yeah.
And then having a conversation with somebody else. They're like, hey, how was your day? Oh, pretty good. Yeah, what'd you do?
Well,
what I do? I painted two squirrels. You did what? Like taxidermy? Oh, no, they're alive.
No, they're
living. Let them go.
They're running around the neighborhood. The news will tell you the cross streets if you pay attention.
There's a blue one. I did one pink. All right.
Or red.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I couldn't get
what
the
What a great use
color
of your time.
Appear to be in good health, but their fur has been colored
somewhat.
So that's one story, Jones.
Okay. All right, good. That's a
fur is colored somewhat.
Pretty good one.
It's going to be tough to top.
Yeah.
Let's go to Florida.
Nice.
Let's go down to Florida. So from Connecticut to Florida for this one.
Well, a Florida man's quiet afternoon at home was shattered by this unexpected visitor.
Oh, now I did already kind of tip my hand.
Okay.
That it is a creature.
We do know it's creature. Yeah.
Unexpected visitor. What do you got?
Well, snake, I feel like, is always in play.
Snake's always in play.
Okay. It's Florida.
Yeah.
Gator.
Good guess.
Huge. This is a 300-pound wild boar that smashed.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, we're going 300-pound wild boar in the house.
How big for a wild boar? I don't
300
know.
300 pounds?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good-sized wild boar.
How big do you think the boar runs?
I don't know.
Wild boar size.
Hoss of the week?
Yeah, well, maybe this one.
Ooh, I see they range from 75 to 250, with some large males reaching over 600. There it is. So,
it's not
that big. It ain't a hoss.
Average
I'll tell you that right
of the
now.
Week.
Yeah,
average pig
adults.
Of the week.
He's above the general range of a normal adult, which is 75 to 250.
I mean, as Merlone would say, that's Peyton Tolley or Garrett Crochet walking through the door.
Good point. It ain't a hoss.
No.
All right.
No, CT from the Real World Challenge still the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, he's top of the league. Yeah, top of the heat for sure.
But like, had it been on the big side, then I would have said sure.
This is a 300-pound wild boar that smashed through his sliding glass door. Obviously, it scared him. He says it then stood there for about 40 minutes.
40-minute standoff with a wild boar.
Oh boy,
what do you do? Just scream at it.
I don't think you want to get anywhere near it.
No, they're very dangerous.
Oh yeah, they'll gouge you.
So if they're in there,
they'll ram you. They'll gouge you.
What do? Do you just take off? You call the FBI? What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
What's your first move?
You play dead? Maybe just play dead.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Just curl up in a ball.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me.
Go ahead. Take whatever you want.
Yeah.
You treat him like he's a robber. Take whatever you want. The money's upstairs.
Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I don't think I would have anything.
Maybe just hit him with a, go on, get.
Go on, go. Oh. Well, like a.
Go on, get!
Like a black bear, you're supposed to go on and get him.
Yeah, get big.
You're supposed to get real big and go on and get him.
Maybe you do that.
I think it wouldn't work on a boar. You might just really aggravate it.
Yeah, you don't want to agitate it.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Before the police showed up, and from there, it was a bit of a struggle wrangling the boar before eventually they got it under control.
That's code for they killed it.
Yeah. They wrangled it. To death.
Took care of
it. He was wrangled to death is what he did. Yeah.
He was stubborn. Then they shot it in the head with their police officer guns. He's dead now.
Maybe. So what was the boar so fired up about?
I don't know. Maybe he was lost.
Maybe he
was meeting a friend somewhere. And he's like, this is the address. These are the cross streets he gave me. It's just a house.
Maybe he saw an oddly colored squirrel.
Could have been. Yeah, I don't know why.
Maybe that's what it was.
Why
I was like, what are these pink squirrels doing?
I feel like there's been more and more stories in the news. Like up here, it's been bears getting in the house. But down there, we had the snake, we had the alligator, and the now a boar.
I mean, you do see a bear in Alaska, you typically say something along the lines of like, hey, bear.
No.
Hey, boar.
That won't work.
Hey, boar.
That won't work.
What are you doing here, boar? Get out of here, boar.
Yeah, no, boars are scary.
Oh,
I think pound for pound, got to be one of the stronger animals in the world.
Yeah. Well, we're encroaching on their territory, Keith. I think that's what's happening. So they smash right into your slider.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, it's a standoff with a boar.
Yeah.
Not great.
Nope. I get you.
Okay. So a double creature feature there.
Yep.
On a Thursday, Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can dial us up there. Let's circle back to the Pats this weekend against Miami. No Gonzo. How do they adjust on defense? Who's calling the plays? Oh, by the way, and some Red Sox thoughts as well. Stay tuned. We'll get to it next.
There was a woman in Texas that was actually killed by a group of wild pigs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.